This is episode 23 about Nandaraj being saved by Krishna from the clutches of Varunadev. And after that, Krishna is going to show the Vrajavasis the spiritual world. Yep. Stay tuned. This is exciting. Okay. Somebody try to log in and see if it you know. Yeah, just to see if it's open, because sometimes it gets blocked. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Pahimam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Right, so we're reading from Canto 10. This is chapter 28, the whole chapter. What are we going to do? Krishna rescues Nandamaraj from the abode of Varuna. So this, what's that? So what happens here is that it's the end of Ekadashi. And this is one of those strange Ekadashis. You know, like most Ekadashis basically starts at sunrise, it goes till sunrise, and the breakfast is sometime, you know, 2 or 3 hours just after sunrise, right? But then there are those unusual Ekadashis where they're only 18 hours or something, and the breakfast time is like, you know, between 4:15 a.m. and 4:23 a.m. or something. You know, it's just a very narrow window of time, and it's very early in the morning. So there's at least one of those Ekadashis a year. And so it happened to be one of those special Ekadashis where the breakfast time was actually before sunrise. And so Nandamaraj had been a fasting, observing Ekadashi and worshiping Lord Vishnu on that holy day. And he wanted to break the fast during the right time, but it was, but before eating, one should take a bath. So in the morning, you don't just wake up and then just go eat. You have to brush your teeth, take a shower and be clean, and then take prasadam. So Nandamaraj went down to the Yamuna to take his bath so that he could then break the fast. And he went with a bunch of other cowherd men too, that everybody had done this Ekadashi Vrat. And so they were going to complete it nicely. But there was, and all of the waters, all the bodies of water are ruled by the demigod Varuna. So all the oceans, the lakes, the rivers, so including the Yamuna. So, and Varuna lives in Rasatala. He actually lives in the subterranean heavenly planets, which are connected to the earth through these like underground subtle channels. So they all went there onto the bank of the Yamuna, and they're finishing, they're doing their you know, prayers to Lord Vishnu. And Nandamaraj is a great devotee. Of course, he's Krishna's father, so in that sense, he's a devotee, but also he's also a devotee of Lord Vishnu. His worshipable deity is Vishnu. So he's very absorbed in his prayers and his meditation on Vishnu. And in that almost trance-like state, he enters into the Yamuna to take his bath. It's a ceremonial bath, more than anything, to end the Ekadashi. But then one of the servants of Vishnu, who's like a kind of an, not a very well-trained servant of, I mean, of Varuna, of the demigod Varuna. And it's described that he's actually like a demoniac servant of Varuna because of his ignorance and because of his, because he's so attached to, he's more attached to the rules and regulations than he is. He's kind of one of these, you know, like very neophyte people who it's all about the rules. They don't understand the higher purpose. They don't understand the, they don't respect devotees. It's just all about the rules. So if you break the rule, I have to punish you, you know, Following the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Yeah, so that's Niyamagraha. And it destroys devotional service. So what do demons do? They destroy devotional service. They want to destroy Krishna and destroy devotees and destroy the cows and destroy the scriptures and stop people from worshiping the Lord. So that kind of so-called following is actually demoniac. And that's the situation with this particular servant of Varuna. So when Nandaraj goes in and he, you know, in India, they'll go in and they'll just kind of dunk. You know, if you see people bathing in the Ganges, doing like a ceremonial religious bathing, they'll just kind of like plug their nose, plug their ears and dunk under. So when Nandaraj dunked himself under the Yamuna, he didn't come up. And the cowherd men were worried and they went in to try to find him and they couldn't find him. He was nowhere to be found. He just disappeared into the Yamuna and there was no trace. So it was very unnerving, especially since he's such a beloved member of the community and also he's the king of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. So the cowherd men, they didn't know what to do, so they do what they always do when there are troubles like this. They go to Krishna. Even though Krishna's just a little boy, like, Krishna, your father just disappeared into the Yamuna, what do we do? Krishna's like, okay, let me see. So then he went there and he dove into the Yamuna. And he, of course, he knew what had happened because Krishna knows. What, Janaki?
Sorry, I think I know this about time.
All right. You want to tell it? So Krishna goes, he dives into the Yamuna. And Krishna knows where these underwater channels are that go to the subterranean regions. So he enters into the channel. The cowherd men didn't know about these things. So they're just swimming around in the Yamuna looking. They don't see anything. They just hit the bottom, come up, and that's it. But Krishna, he finds the way. And he goes down, down, down into the earth and into the subterranean regions. And then he's approaching Varuna. So in the meantime, Krishna's on his way there. In the meantime, Varuna, when his servant comes with Nandamaraj, he's just like, what have you done? Like, what's wrong with you? This is Nandamaraj. This is the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can't punish him. We were just talking about that, right? With Nectar of Instruction, that the pure devotee is not a subject of disciplinary action. He's not to be corrected. So even if they do something wrong, that's a little bit of an infringement on the rules. It's like, you just, you know, chant Hare Krishna, look the other way. So he was very upset with this servant and he was just like, you really messed up big time now. But he was very apologetic to Nandamaraj and he thought, well, I'm sure that this will be rectified. I'm sure that Krishna's going to do something. So he got off his throne and he put Nandamaraj on his own throne, and which was a beautiful jeweled throne, because the subterranean heavenly planets are amazing. They're like really beautiful. They're so opulent, and they're actually more pretty and more opulent than the heavenly planets. They're just really like gorgeous. So he put him on this beautiful jeweled throne, and he's actually worshiping Nandamaraj. He's like offering him, you know, arati and prayers and glorifications, and like that he's trying to, you know, show Nandamaraj that he, you know, respects him and that he's trying to counteract the mistake that his servant did, basically. At the same time, Varuna's getting really excited because he's thinking, Krishna's coming. I'm sure Krishna's going to come. Krishna's going to be here any minute, because his nature is that he always protects his devotees. He always comes to the rescue when the devotees are in trouble. So, let's see what I'm supposed to be saying here.
Why did the servant bring Nandamaraj in the first place? Because he's bringing Nandamaraj like from some kind of rule?
Yeah, because he was taking bath at the wrong time.
Oh.
Yeah, so there are certain times of the day where it's auspicious to bathe and other times where it's inauspicious. And because he bathed at an inauspicious time, then he thought, he deserves to be punished. I'm going to take him to my master, Varunadev, who's going to punish him severely for this mistake. What's that? Yeah, but obviously this servant of Varuna was just totally ignorant, that's all. He just knew a certain set of rules and didn't know about Ekadashi and those rules. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to miss anything here. Anyway, so so then Krishna went and the Rajvasis all came. So when Krishna went, the Rajvasis all went following because they're worried. They're very worried, one for Nandaraj, and they're even more worried because now Krishna is going to go in and maybe he's going to disappear too. So when Krishna jumps in, Balaram's trying to comfort Yashoda and Rohini, just as he was trying to comfort everyone when Krishna jumped into the Yamuna and danced on Kaliya. But they're just like, you know, they're besides themselves because Krishna goes in the water and he also doesn't come out for a very long time. So they're just assuming the worst and they're like, oh, Krishna, oh, Nanda Baba. And Mother Yashoda is just, you know, sighing and alas, alas, you know, getting really in anxiety about the whole thing. So Krishna, he's traveling down there to meet to Varuna's underworld abode underwater, and he's very angry. It's described that his form is flashing like lightning, and his complexion is already like, you know, blackish blue like a storm cloud. And so he arrived literally like a storm. He stormed in to Varuna's place, and he boomed in a thunderous voice, saying, in which hole has that jackal Varuna hid my father? And then Varuna, he was just like, he just like dropped and paid dandavats, full dandavats on the floor. And all of his servants, including the rascal one that kidnapped him, all just went flat on the ground. And then he said, your father's right here. And then he points to Nandaraj and how he's being worshipped on the jeweled throne. And when Krishna sees that he's actually like, you know, that he's, you know, having a reverential attitude towards Nandaraj, then that warms him up a little. That warms him. And he's like, okay, I can understand it. And then, and also Varuna's like, please tell me, how can I serve you? I'm so happy that you came here. And he's begging like anything for forgiveness and for mercy. And the thing is that Nanda Maharaj, because remember I was saying he was like completely absorbed in his meditation on Lord Vishnu. So when he went in, he was just really like almost in this samadhi, like in trance. And he didn't even realize, he didn't even know where he was. He was like so absorbed in meditation on the Lord that he wasn't even aware of what had happened. But when Krishna came close to him, then he smelled the fragrance of Krishna's body, and that broke his meditation. So he wasn't experiencing anything until that point. And then Krishna touched Nandaraj's feet, and he just said, "Father, I've come. You know, look around. Here we are in Varuna's abode." And Nandaraj is just like, he's just like, "What? Where are we?" He was just really disoriented. And Krishna said, don't worry, just as we came here, we're going to go home now. And then Varuna said, no, please don't go, stay a little longer. Because Varuna's a demigod, so he's, you know, he's a servant of Krishna. He's a devotee of Krishna. And he wants that Krishna somehow either punishes him or blesses him or lets him serve him or something. But Krishna is not interested. Krishna just wants to... But he did. He said, okay, one thing that you can do is you can get all this water to part so that we can have a dry path back home. Because then for Nanda Maharaj, it will be much easier. We can just go the normal way. We don't have to, you know, swim. So then somehow mystically Varuna did that, and they got back.
underwater.
Yeah. Well, they went into the Yamuna. The thing is, they went into the Yamuna, but then they went through those channels, and then they went to a place where, I mean, sometimes it's depicted as being underwater there in the underworld, but the subterranean planets, it's not like the bottom of the ocean or something. It's actually like a world where there's everything. There's no sun there. It's illumined by the jewels on the heads of the serpents. Yeah, they have jewels all over the place, and the jewels, like one jewel, the jewels on the serpents' heads are luminous, and then that light reflects on all the other jewels, and it lights everything up.
You mean the serpent, like
serpent flashlight? I think there's just a lot of like these big serpents there, kind of like the suns in the sky.
So yeah, like Varuna is under the earth in the core.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a whole other dimension. There's a whole other dimension that opens up through these mystical channels that go down. Yeah. So then the Brajavasis are all there on the shore of the Yamuna. They're on the bank of the Yamuna, just waiting, like in total anxiety, like how, what happened? They disappear. Are we ever gonna see them again? And so when the Brajavasis emerge from the water, I mean, when the Krishna and Nandamaraj emerge from the water, the Brajavasis were so ecstatic. They were just started hugging everyone. And yeah, they were. And so then Balaram just, he took everyone home. He told everyone, let's go home. And he asked Krishna to tell him all about it. But there's some interesting verses here. See. So Krishna, let's see what some of these verses. Yeah. So Varuna, so this is back to when they're in Varuna's place. Varuna's offering his obeisances. And he says, your father who is sitting here was brought to me by a foolish, ignorant servant of mine who did not understand his proper duty. Therefore, please forgive us. He says, O Krishna, seer of everything, please give your mercy even to me. O Govinda, you are most affectionate to your father. Please take him home now. Thus satisfied by Lord Varuna, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of Lords, took his father and returned home, where the relatives were overjoyed to see them. Nandamaraj had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet, and also to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respect to Krishna. Nanda described all this to the fellow cowherd men. Yeah, so this was like, because they see Krishna as an ordinary child. They don't see Krishna as a worshipable lord. But it was like unusual for Nandamaraj to see Varuna and all of his servants doing dandavats and worshiping Krishna and calling him Lord. Okay. So it says, hearing about Krishna's pastimes with Varuna, the cowherd men considered that Krishna must be the Supreme Lord. And their minds, O King, were filled with eagerness. They thought, this is really funny. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his transcendental abode?
We're already there.
Yeah. And then Krishna, it says, Krishna understood what the cowherd men were thinking. And so he thought, this is what Krishna thought. Certainly people in this world are wandering among higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires without full knowledge. Thus people do not know their real destination. So he's kind of saying this as if he's talking about ordinary materialistic people who are just wandering around the upper planets and the lower planets, trying to fulfill their desires in ignorance of the true destination, the true goal of life. But he's speaking this, it has a dual application. It applies to materialistic people, and it also applies to his own associates. So how it's explained here is, this verse applies to conditioned souls, also to the Brajavasis. Because wandering in Vrindavan, they're unaware of their own exalted position. And they're also unaware of Krishna's own exalted position. They see themselves as inferior to Varuna. And they think that liberation in Brahman or Vaikuntha is superior to their position as the cowherd people of Vrindavan. So they're thinking that Brahman is a demigod, he's superior to them, and he's also superior to Krishna. And they're thinking that Brahman in the spiritual sky or Vaikuntha planets are a higher destination or higher situation than being with Krishna in Voma Vrindavan. So on the one hand, materialistic people, they're just plain ignorant. And they're covered by Mahamaya. But the Brajvasis, they appear to be ignorant, but actually what the situation is that they've transcended those low states of spiritual consciousness. So, and they're covered by Yogamaya. So the proof is here is that they often remember that Krishna's God. Like here, they're thinking, oh, Krishna must be God. And they're kind of astonished or, you know, kind of amused by the fact that Krishna is God or could be God. But then they just, they don't really take it very seriously. It's kind of like, oh, Krishna's the Supreme Lord. That's great because he's like a member of our family. So that means we're pretty sure that we're going back to the spiritual world. You know, they don't think we should, they never think we should worship him. Oh, if he's God, the Supreme Person of God, we should worship him like Varuna did. They're like, no, oh, that's so cool that like our son is God because we don't have, you know, we're like set, you know. That's what they think. So it's just really funny. So then, so then now that the Brajvasis have seen that Krishna is the Lord and they've seen, you know, some of his opulences, then he's thinking, well, they already have this idea that I'm God and they're talking about the spiritual world. So let me just show it to them. Why should I hide things from them? So now that's what he's going to do. He's going to show them the spiritual world.
This is the first time that they're not like so bewildered that like they faint or they're like, no way. This is the first time that they're like, oh.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, Krishna's God. That's so cool. We'll definitely go back to the spiritual world then.
Oh my God.
All right. Thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. So the first thing that he's going to reveal to them is Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti. Lord Krishna revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is free from the modes of material nature. So they're seeing the spiritual light of the Brahma Jyoti. And what it is, the way he did this was he took them to this lake, which is called Brahma Radha. The cowherd men were brought by Lord Krishna to the Brahma Radha, made to submerge in the water and then lifted up. So it's just like, you know, when, huh?
Lifted up.
Just like he dunked them in the water and took them out. So they all dunked themselves in the water. And when they came out of the water after that plunge, then they saw the Brahma Jyoti. That's how Krishna did it. It wasn't like they were just down there and then like seeing Vrindavan and then all of a sudden they saw Brahma Jyoti. It was like, okay, let's go to the water. I'm going to show you. You guys, because they were just saying, you know, they were just saying, they thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his transcendental abode? So Krishna's like, all right, you want to see the transcendental abode? I'll bestow it on you. Let's go to the lake. And it's the same thing happens when Akrura comes to get Krishna and take him to Mathura. So they're in a chariot and then they pass by this pond. They're just about to leave the borders of Vrindavan. And it's about halfway between Vrindavan and Mathura. And they just take a little pit stop there. They take a break. And Akrura goes to take a bath there. And when he bathes in that pond, when he comes out, he sees basically the whole spiritual world. He sees that Krishna and Balaram are both Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sees the whole like universal form and he sees all this stuff. And he's like, ah, these two boys that I'm taking to Mathura to fight with Kamsa are actually the Lord. So he had that spiritual vision. Huh?
Same body,
different body, as far as I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's
it. Is this place excavated now? Brahma Radha?
Brahma Radha. I'm not sure. I don't, I've never heard of this place, actually. It must be there. Yeah, if you bathe there, you're going to see the Brahma Jyoti. So they saw the Brahma Jyoti. And wait, where are we? Yeah. The cowherd men were brought, yeah, from the vantage point. Oh, what's the place? From the same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world. Oh, same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world. So I guess it's the same place. It's Akura God. So then, first they saw the Brahma Jyoti, and then they saw the planet of the absolute truth, because that's what Krishna wanted to show them. He wanted to show them his own abode.
Did they see themselves in there?
Wait a second. And then it says, look, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who are offering him prayers. So although the residents of Vrindavan considered themselves ordinary persons, Lord Krishna wanted them to know of their extraordinary good fortune. Thus, within a lake in the Yamuna River, the Lord showed them his personal abode. The cowherd men were amazed to see that the kingdom of God had exactly the same spiritual atmosphere as their own earthly Vrindavan, and that just as in their Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was personally present, in their unique vision, he was present as the Lord of the spiritual world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out these verses emphasize that Lord Krishna did not merely show the cowherd men a sample Vaikuntha planet, but that he specifically revealed his Krishna Loka, the greatest of eternal abodes and the natural home of the residents of Vrindavan who loved Krishna more than anyone else did. So they saw everything. They saw it all. What's that? That's it. That's it. Yeah. And then the next chapter is Krishna meets the gopis for the rasa dance. So it's very different.
Wait, are we
going to
talk about gopis?
Yeah, it's interesting that it doesn't mention anything about how they respond, if they say anything to Krishna, or what happens after that. Like, do they forget about that? Does Yogamaya cover them? Yeah. Basically, what Krishna does is he pulls away the Maya curtain. I think it's even mentioned here, something about Yoga Maya. So because, I mean, they're Nitya Siddhas. They, if they weren't covered by Yoga Maya, they would know that Krishna's God and they would know all about the spiritual world and everything, but they're just covered over so that they see Krishna is ordinary, themselves is ordinary, their village is an ordinary place on the earth. So then Krishna, they take bath in this Brahma Radha, and then he just pulls off, briefly uncovers them from Yoga Maya, and then they see everything as it actually is. So, like that. They get a special darshan. Any thoughts or questions, Max? Just a minute, let me turn off my... Okay, go ahead.
So the residents of Vrindavan, it was saying that they were worshiping Vishnu, and I feel like we would try to preach to them, worship Krishna. Why is it, can we turn that, like, why is it that they worship Vishnu?
Because they just love Krishna as their son. They don't see Krishna as the Lord. That's by Krishna's desire, because Krishna wants to have that relationship with them and they want to have that relationship with Krishna. So Krishna facilitates that by covering their knowledge of his divinity. So in their minds, Vishnu is the Lord, and Krishna is happy with that.
Okay.
Even in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, they worship Vishnu. Yeah. Yep.
Where does Krishna say that thing? In which hole has this being a ruler?
That's in my notes here. It's probably from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yeah. Most of it is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, usually.
Can you say it again?
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. he says, he arrived like a storm and boomed. In which hole is that jackal of Varuna holding Nanda Maharaj? And then Varuna very respectfully says, your father is here on my throne. Please take him home.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Actually, Evan mentioned this a little bit ago, can you say something about Gopastami? Like, why is that important? Like, why is that important?
Gopastami? We had a whole class on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actually, that was my question. You, the day that we were talking about Gopastami was a certain day that we're going to talk about later, correct? Like, you covered a class. I think Narottam was saying, you know, you should talk about this
day. Oh, it was Radhakund, appearance of Radhakund.
Oh, okay. Were you talking about that?
Yeah. When Krishna kills Arishtasura. That's when the Radhakund pastime takes place. Should be coming soon. I'll tell you which day it's on. So it's the end. Oh, you have a good memory. Oh. It's the 16th. 18th is the last day. Okay, well, no more questions? Then I'm going to wrap it up. Oh, Max?
Yeah. I have two, but I'll just choose one. What's your advice? Okay. Nanda Maharaj was like extremely absorbed in his meditation on Vishnu. And to the point where like, he wasn't disturbed by his externals. So I'm wondering like if that state is achievable for a practicing sadhaka.
I mean, it's a very advanced state of absorption. So yeah, I mean, a practicing sadhaka can get there if they keep practicing their sadhana very nicely.
Which mood is he channeling?
Well, he's just very prayerful. Just very absorbed in Vishnu consciousness.
So they have Shantaras, Vishnu, and then, you know, he's kind of absorbing Vishnu. And then I guess his Rasa of Krishna is about solid.
Yeah. Yeah, the mood with Vishnu is, I mean, I don't know if it's Shantaras or Dasyaras. Could be Dasyaras also. Like, if they think, like, if they have a mindset that they're doing their duties, their occupational duties, as an offering to Vishnu, right? Like it says in Bhagavad Gita, that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this world. So they might have that feeling that, you know, we're doing our prescribed duties as a Vaishya community for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, worshiping him through our duties, and also through pujas. Yeah.
Vishnu, you know, that's it.
All right, Vishnu Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi.